Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor, select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined as always by G. Hay Wiley. Armani Buckets, Brandon Deutsch, how are we doing?
You know, better than the royal family right now. But other than that, I'm great.
Oh, and
better
than the Bills.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, okay. No, better than the royal family right now, and then also better, obviously.
Someone said on Twitter, Prince Charles entered the reign with five fouls. That was hilarious because he's like so old and could die soon, too. That was pretty funny.
I mean, he's not 96, so you got to give him a little
Everyone's bit of- like, I heard on the news, like, everyone's surprised she died. I'm like, dude, she's 96.
You know what? I will say this. I think the reason why a lot of people are surprised that she died is because they thought she was
queen for so long.
Forever. Yeah.
I mean, she was a great queen.
I mean,
R.I.P.
I'm pro America.
I'm pro America. I don't pay attention to British politics.
Well, I find it interesting now, too, because everybody doesn't know. Like, there are some people that don't know who is next in line.
Yeah.
Like, Charles. How crazy is that? No, I know. I know we know.
Isn't it William after Charles?
Prince William, right? Yeah, after. But I'm just saying there's a lot of people that are like looking up right now, going on Google right now and being like, yeah. Who's next in line?
We know they're all socialites now. They don't even do anything.
No. The monarchy is solely so their economy can thrive.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like there's going to be a huge bump in like so many different sales of corgis and like all this other stuff. So yeah. It's good for their economy. Good on England, I guess. I don't know.
I have nothing to add on that, but I am not doing so well this morning because I should have listened to Brandon Deutsch's advice. He's been telling us for weeks, no, maybe even months, that to Buffalo.
He said it was going to be a blowout. And so we hung out like at the half. Yeah. And I said, hey, Brandon, 10-10. I mean, you know, I keep hearing about this blowout.
I know, I was getting scared.
And he said, watch for the second half. And I hate to admit it, but he was right. 21-point blowout.
Nick coerced me into only favoring Buffalo by 12 to 14 yesterday. But I should have. I was stuck. Originally, it was 21.
Yeah, like early on, you were like, this is going to be a blowout. And listen, at the end of the day, it was. We'll talk about it. All right, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, G-Hay.
Well, as we said before, the Bills defeated the Los Angeles Rams 31-10 at SoFi Stadium last night, opening night. Arash and Brandon, you guys were there. What did you notice, and does this change your mind on the Rams' outlook this season?
You know, I noticed that this was a team that this is the number one thing you have to worry about with a championship team, the championship hangover where, you know, they got all the commercials, they got the shows, they're in Hollywood and all this stuff. I mean, how are they going to react? Listen, it was a 10-10 game at the half, 10-10 in the third quarter, and then the wheels fell off. I think what we'll see, though, during the course of the season, this Bills team is the best team. And so it's not like they got blown out by a bad team. Generally speaking, though, Sean McVay does a fantastic job. Halftime adjustments. He was 5-0 first game in the season. He's never lost when he's had the lead again. They didn't have the lead, but it was a tie game. So, I mean, those were the kind of the concerning things, how badly that they played post game. And we'll talk to him in the second segment. Michael Duarte was outside the Rams locker room post game. Apparently, profanity-laced tirade from Sean McVay. Because, listen, I mean, yes, it's the first game of the season, but you can't get blown up by 21 points. But I will say, my first thought post game, Brandon Deutsch predicted this, and he can talk about why he thought so, but he said a month ago, this is going to be a 21-point blowout win.
Can I add just one thing before Brandon goes, is that you can't blame Sean McVay for being mad and going off a tirade, right? I'd be mad, too.
Partially, it's his fault, though, because he kept running Henderson and his plays weren't inventive in the first half. They had so many opportunities to go in and gain momentum, and they just didn't do it. They kept running like 2-yard runs. It's like everyone and their mom, no offense to moms, they know a lot, but knew that Daryl Henderson was going to run up the middle. It looked like David Shaw's jumbo package at Stanford, where everybody knows you're running up the middle and they're going to stop you. Ridiculous. When you have a guy like Matthew Stafford, who I know may be limited, you got to pass. I mean,
there was no play action.
They just he was eyeing Cup the whole time, and hats off to Cup. He got open somehow 40 times, you know, but
he's always going to get open though, man. That guy is clutch. I mean, he's great is great.
This is why I knew the Bills would win. I mean, first off, one team's hungry, one team just won, right? That's the first thing. So one team's going to be out coming gunning for the champs. They're going to get the Lakers treatment like the Lakers got the following year after they won the championship in the bubble. Everyone's going to be coming to beat the Rams. They just want to beat the Rams. And the Bills, like I said yesterday on radio, the number one defense in the league last year, looked pretty elite yesterday. And their pass rush, it all of a sudden got way better with Von Miller, you know? Yeah. And I just figured that the Rams, they were up and down last year. You know, then they got hot in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. Hats off to them. They deserved it. But this isn't new. The Rams looked really bad at times last year, too, like this. Like, they did at some points. And Stafford, people forget, yes, he had 41 touchdowns. He also led the league in interceptions. So this isn't surprising, but the O-line needs to get better. They weren't giving him any time.
I mean, it's the offense that we should all be worried about. The defense, I'm good. Like,
defense played well in the first half.
They're showing the stats right now. Like, Cam Akers, zeros across the board.
Okay, but Allen Robinson, it's not his fault. The poor guy. I mean, it should have gotten him more involved.
Yeah, I mean, but that's where you come with those adjustments, right? With those halftime adjustments that just weren't really
made. Look, I was actually impressed with the Rams' defense, especially in the first half. That might be the most picks Allen throws all year, too, in a game like that.
I mean, I think that, here's the thing. I think that defense is the standard, right? I think that they've always been that way, in my opinion, at least.
They're top heavy. A problem is Ramsey, and I know over the past couple of years, he's been, you know, he's still arguably the best corner in the league, but he's getting beat so much. Like, there was one, did you see the replay of Diggs where Diggs was like 40 feet past him.
He was lost.
And Ramsey was like looking around like this, and it's like, oh, you can't do that with a guy like Josh Allen there.
Also, in the Super Bowl, by the way, I would love to point out that he also was lost.
What about T. Higgins? Got him lost by like a mile there. I know some people say it was offensive pass interference. Still, that was terrible coverage. But look, it's just the Rams they're going to be a good team. It's one game. It's literally one game. And I was telling all the Rams fans yesterday, like Grant was like heated. He's like, the Rams suck. The Niners are winning the division. I told you. I'm like, dude, the Niners haven't even played a game. They could lose to the Bears on Sunday. We don't know. Like,
I love the realism that you're coming with at this.
Well,
we don't know.
I told Grant, and I'll stand by my prediction. The Rams are going to go 12-5 now? 12-5 and win the division. Niners will have 11 wins. They'll be 11-6. So the Rams are still going to win the division. They got an easy matchup next week. They're going to just blow Atlanta out of the building. That's why tickets are $50. No one's even going to go to that game. But Stafford should be much better next week.
There's a couple of games real quick that SoFi, again, you know, the first season where fans got to go back, all the games were sold out. The Jags-Chargers game and this Falcons-Rams game, they are really worried that it could be maybe not like half empty, but a lot of empty
seats. I'm probably going to go to the Chargers-Jags. When's that?
So not obviously, so not the following Sunday, but like after that, so the end of the
dude,
week,
Jags, week
three or something.
I mean,
like that.
It'd be cool to see Trevor Lawrence, right?
People are sleeping on the Jags. They're going to be much better because they have actually a legitimate coach.
They can't get any worse, though, man. I mean, right?
Like, I was like, who's worse? Here, I got a question. Sarkisian when he was binge drinking at USC, or Urban Meyer last year when he was out cheating on his wife at like Ohio State bars?
That's a good question.
Who's worse?
Dude, I'm gonna go Meyer because here's the reason why.
Sark was like drunk on game days.
But here's the thing: is that college is a totally different thing than the pros. Like Urban Meyer was thinking like, oh, I'm gonna cruise by this,
and then he thinks,
oh my god, I'm getting Alabama every single
even
week.
Even though it's USC like, fans hate Sark because obviously what he did to USC and just was a complete like loser at the program, I have to give him respect for what he's done in Texas the past couple of years. He's done a great job.
Well, he stayed off the bottle, so like this is what happens when you don't drink. Yeah, this is what happens when you don't. That's what he did at Alabama, and that's why what he's doing at UT.
That's gonna be a game awesome. This weekend. Alabama probably by 35, right?
I haven't even looked at the spread. What's the what is Alabama favored by?
I think it's
by?
Like 25 or something because Texas barely won last week.
I feel like that's really low for Bama, right? No,
they're gonna blow them out of the water. I'm sorry, Texas will be good when they have Arch Manning.
Yeah, like, and that's what. Years. Yeah, I was about to say they're gonna be like he still needs a couple more years, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So I had a couple takeaways from this game, mainly the fact that you guys mentioned the Bills defense was just mauling the Rams offensive line. Zero blitzes brought by Buffalo all game. Zero. That's only like the third time that that's happened. I think I read a stat by Next Gen Stats in the last 6 years, and all were by the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott. If you don't need to bring anybody and you hit the quarterback, sack him 7 times, hit him 15 times, that's not a good sign for the Rams. And it shows that their biggest, in my opinion, their biggest loss this offseason was Andrew Whitworth. The guy was a stud left tackle for them for years. And not only that, he was the captain of their offensive line. You lose him and immediately it shows. But the thing with offensive line play is it's all about continuity. It's going to get better as the season goes along. Now, the one thing that I kind of somewhat disagree with you guys is the defense, because in the first half, it felt like Buffalo could do whatever they wanted. They were running the ball. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss were running it at will, basically getting like, it felt like 10 yards a carry. And then they were just mowing down the field. The first interception was just a fluke. The second one was Josh Allen's fault. And then the third one was a fumble that, you know, again, they had momentum and just like a lucky break by the Rams for the Rams defense, but I didn't really think that they could stop Buffalo's offense at any point. If you take away those three takeaways, maybe if you make it one takeaway, the Bills are scoring 40 plus points in this game. But hold on, we go into halftime 10-10, and then in the third quarter, I really felt like the Rams were gonna win this ball game, and it's third down. The Rams get the ball first in the third quarter, and on third down and 4, the snap gets fumbled by Stafford. He gets sacked. Momentum killer. Yeah. Bills go down and score. It's 17-10. Rams go right down the field, and then Von Miller on second down gets a sack for a loss of like 12. Those two plays, we look at a game and we see the final score and we think, oh my God, Buffalo by 3 touchdowns, and they were dominant. But if you change just those two plays, the Rams could go down the field both times and score, and all of a sudden it becomes more of what Brandon was saying yesterday, a shootout back and forth instead of 31-10. No need to panic.
But
about
it's
the
one
Rams.
Game. Yeah, yeah, it's one game. They're gonna blow out the Falcons next week, and then they play who are they play in week three? They play a decent team in week three.
I'll look it up.
But the fact that you can sack a quarterback without blitzing him 7 times and 15 hits, and I'm sure you guys saw Stafford's bloody knuckles after the game when he was shaking hands with Josh Allen, it's a concerning sign. And then Jalen Ramsey giving up 158.
What about Jalen Ramsey? I love Jalen Ramsey giving up 150 yards and talking trash to Stephon Diggs like he's the man. Jalen, shut up, dude. Lift some weights. The guy's the skinniest corner I've ever seen.
So they play the Cardinals, which that'll be,
on the road?
Yes, in Arizona.
That's a tough game. See, that's week three. That's the game where you're going to see, okay, this is the Rams. I think they win
week
that game.
Week four, going on the road, Monday Night Football at the San Francisco 49ers.
They're going to win that game, the Rams, because Jimmy Ward is out.
When was the last time they've beaten San Francisco in San Francisco?
2018.
Yeah, it's been a while.
When's the last time they beat San Francisco in a regular
season? In a regular season.
2018.
Exactly.
You know, they haven't won in 3 years.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of talk about the amount of Bills fans at the game last night. Was it as bad as what people are saying, and what do you expect this Sunday when the Raiders come to SoFi Stadium to play the Chargers?
Listen, it was bad, but it's something that we've seen for a lot of years right now in Los Angeles. So, I mean, this was not a unique thing. What made it a little bit more palpable, at least visually, were the Bills fans were wearing blue jerseys, they were wearing white jerseys, so it looked like they blended in. But listen, obviously, when the other team is up, when the Bills are up 31-10, it was extremely loud. And so when you're hearing the fans cheer, and you're like, why are they cheering? Well, I mean, listen, there was a ton of Bills fans there. It wasn't as bad as when San Francisco comes to town, and it certainly didn't look as bad when you got all the red jerseys. Obviously, there's no doubt on Sunday when it's the Raiders and the Chargers, it will be a sea of silver and black. But again, we've talked about it for a number of years. There was no team here for 21 years, and a generation of fans grew up with no team, so they became Bills fans or San Francisco fans or Giants fans or Chicago fans or whatnot. And when you're a grown adult, you keep that is your team. You were cheering for that team for 20 plus years. So this is something that Los Angeles, regardless of if the Rams won the Super Bowl, regardless of if the Chargers win this year, they're going to have to deal with that for quite some time.
Yeah. Does this first of all, I think for you, myself, and yourself, Arash, yeah. I don't want to say expect this, but we can see this happening over and over, right? Where you see a sea of red over that sea of blue, where you see the opposing team coming in. Do you think that fans should be used to this by now, or like this should even be a thing?
Like this becomes a story consistently, but it's like we literally have seen it every year. The Rams' first year back at the Coliseum, like this was a story week in and week out, and I'm a little tired of it because like we get it. Like I said, as soon as they moved here, we didn't have a team here for 21 years, so it's going to take a long time for this fan base to grow. Why? Because this is not a small market. In a transient town, in a melting pot like Los Angeles, you have people from like around the country. And so the fact of the matter is they love the National Football Team, the National Football League, and they have their teams. So if you're a Giants fan like you, G.H., just because the Rams came to town,
yeah, it doesn't mean you're going to
you're not going to not root for the Giants. So I mean, again, this isn't a problem that will be solved tomorrow. But the same, by the way, the Dodgers are probably one of, if not the most beloved team here in Los Angeles. And I promise you, when the Cubs come to town, it's a ton of Cubs fans. Why? There's a ton of people from Chicago here.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of people. I mean, I find it very interesting. I think Armand and I were my boyfriend and I were walking up and down Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach, and you can see different flags in every single bar, and none of those are Rams, by the way. They're all different bars for different teams.
Exactly.
Because there's so many transients out here, right? So you're gonna see a Bills Mafia bar. You're gonna see a Chicago bar. You're gonna see, you know, all of these different bars that like remind these people of home. You know, like, I mean, there's a Philadelphia Eagles organization out here in Hermosa that is strong.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm talking, like they come in droves. So like you're gonna see, you know, all these guys out here. So it's, and these are people that live here. These aren't even people that travel for the game. So you're gonna see a sea of that.
100%. I wonder how it'll be in 20 years from now. I have a quick story to share about one of my first experiences at a Lakers game. It was a Lakers playoff game. They were playing the Utah Jazz, and I was in the corridor. What do you call that?
Where you get the food.
And there was two Jazz fans that were walking through, and the Laker fans basically said, part the Red Sea. They opened up the walkway so everybody could boo them. And the reason why they can do that is because Laker games, you don't see those kinds of things.
No, exactly. It's
and
a ton of Laker fans.
Maybe in the future, the Rams can build a fan base like that where it will be predominantly Rams fans. But, I mean, it is. It's a transplant city, and I just don't see how that happens, at least in the near future.
Well, and also, here's the other thing, too. The Lakers never left.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that was 100% GA. That is the biggest thing that this team really kind of left twice. So the idea that now that they're back in town, and it was weird that they raised the championship banner for the Super Bowl. I bet you for a lot of Rams fans, it was weird because they also put up the banner for the championship they won in St. Louis. Yeah. And I will never forget Georgia Frontieri, the owner of the Rams, when she got that trophy, she could have just been classy and accepted it. She said, "This proves I made the right decision in moving the team to St. Louis." That stung so hard. So this will take time, but I really do believe that in 20 years from now, what you're going to have happen is that these kids who are wearing their Cooper Cup jerseys and Donald jerseys, they're going to grow up to be fans of this team. They're going to take their kids. So it will take time, but what won't change is that Los Angeles will always be a city of people from Chicago, New York, all over the country.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no denying it. You can see it everywhere, yeah. Right? I will say this, though, for that 20-year gap, it's the reason why they booed those two at Utah fans is because of the history, because of the rivalry, because of, like, if you grew up in LA a Laker fan, you do not like San Antonio, you do not like Utah. Like, if you grew up like back in the day of like the Karl Malone days, there's no way you're rooting for those guys because just of the history. And so the Rams need to obtain that history, and I think that they're on the right track 100%. To getting there, right? They need those rivalries, right? I mean, fortunately, I think for the Rams, they've always not, them and San Francisco have always been at odds. So that's a great rivalry. That's something that's going to be great where people can boo you and stuff. And hopefully that brings a little bit more to the fan base.
Exactly.
100%. Yeah. I mean, Arash has hit it right on the money. I don't have anything to add. Yeah.
Wow. Brandon Deutsch speechless for the second show in a row. But listen, I mean, this was going to take some time. If I am Brandon, I wouldn't like not be a fan of the San Francisco 49ers. The success that team has had, the Super Bowls that they've had.
And again, they never left.
They've been in the same city for all this time. So listen, I totally get that. We will leave it there for now. When we come back on the Mightier 1090, we will talk to Michael Duarte. Michael Duarte was there, and he was outside the locker room after the game. So we'll catch up with him when we return on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports Guest Hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. And here he is, our main man, Michael Duarte. Michael, how are you?
Rush, I'm good. I am better than the Rams a day after that NFL opening night blowout loss to the Bills Mafia. And as our boy Chris Berman likes to say, Arash, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly. Michael, you were outside of the Rams locker room post-game, 31-10 blowout, as you said. Sean McVay had some choice words. Paint the picture, Michael Duarte. What was the scene like following that blowout loss?
So this is great, Arash, and I know you cover the Rams, but you know, here at SoFi Stadium, we have not been allowed inside the Rams locker room since the stadium opened because of COVID.
Yep.
That includes the 2020 season and last year's Super Bowl winning 2021 season. And so when we went into the press conference room last night after the game, on the right side wall of this press conference room, as you are aware, it's just open windows that look out to this like VIP special bar area that fans can, you know, watch the press conferences. And then to the left was this like garage door, like it's the best way I can describe it. This garage door that would open and close. And when it opened, we're in the Rams locker room. It's literally like right there. And then they closed it. It was open when we got to the press conference room. And they closed it once we arrived. And then within seconds, you could hear Sean McVay just screaming, yelling, ripping into his team. And I then stood up from my seat in the press conference room and literally, you know, like the age old adage, or like you would see in a movie, I like with my cup to the wall, like trying to hear what was going on with my ear to the wall. And I can't repeat everything you said, because I don't have that many curse words in my vocabulary, but I can tell you one thing I heard clearly that he said to his team, and that is, I promise you, this will not happen again. That, I promise you. That is exactly what he said word for word, and I'm assuming he's referring to, you know, a blowout loss at home like this, but moreover, I'm assuming he's referring to his team just not being prepared for this game the way they should have been. For a team that is the preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl in the Bills. So a lot of curse words, a lot of taking accountability and responsibility, all the cliches, we need to be better. It starts with me. I didn't do a good enough job. I didn't do a good enough job at halftime making adjustments. So a lot of accountability from Sean McVay. But yeah, I had my ear to the wall, literally, trying to hear what he said to his team post-game.
What was the biggest takeaway from that game? You know, listen, it was 10-10 at the half, so close game there. Usually speaking, Sean McVay's teams do very well the first game of the season. They do very well in the second half. What went wrong?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And again, I was expecting more excuses than a John Gruden apology tour after the game. But most of the players took accountability and just said this was a very humbling experience to them. You mentioned that the game was tied 10-10 at the half. To me, that was not indicative of what I was watching on the field. I was not watching an even matchup at 10-10 in that first half. I was watching a Buffalo Bills team offensively that could do anything they wanted at any time against the Rams defense, which is normally good. And it was three first half turnovers, two of which I thought were absolute gifts the Bills handed the Rams defense, not necessarily a takeaway earned by the Rams defense, except for Troy Hill's interception. Welcome back in, by the way. But to me, it was moreover about that Rams getting those lucky takeaways, like look what I found, Mom, on one of those interceptions and also on the fumble. So that, to me, then set up the Rams in good field position. That's why they were able to get 10 points. Obviously, great throw by Matthew Stafford, great catch by Cooper Kupp to get that touchdown. But that's why it was 10-10. But to me, this game was all Buffalo. In the second half, the Rams just didn't make the adjustments. The Bills held on to the ball, and it was the Rams committing turnovers with Matthew Stafford. Here's what I saw, though, to break it down from a more technical standpoint for you, Rush. The Rams' offensive line was thinner than a piece of soy paper on a sushi roll that you'd get. They allowed 7 sacks. That is the most Matthew Stafford has ever been sacked as a member of the Rams, and the most he's ever been sacked in a game since 2018's paltry season with the Detroit Lions. And the Bills were able to put that kind of pressure and knock Matthew Stafford down 15 times, have pressure on him on every single possession, every single play. And they were doing it with a 3- and 4-man rush, meaning they didn't have to blitz. They didn't have to put another defender in the box. They didn't have to disguise anything. And when you can do that, as we know historically in the NFL, you can then drop 7 guys back in coverage, sometimes 8 guys back in coverage, which means nobody's going to be open. Which means Matthew Stafford, who really, in my opinion, because of his elbow issue, has not had enough time to develop a connection with Allen Robinson this year. And I think you saw that in the fact that he was only targeted twice for one catch. So where was he going the whole time? Familiar targets in Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee, who had a lot of drops and, let's face it, didn't have a good day. So, you know, all that was made about Tutu Atwell in the preseason and then Ben Skoranek ascending to that third role and stuff. He doesn't have that rapport with Matthew Stafford yet. And so not playing the preseason, not getting as many reps and throws, in the offseason, and then coming into this game, it was Cooper Kupp or bust with what the Bills were doing. And he was also holding on to the ball way too long. And on the flip side of that, it wasn't necessarily that the Rams' defensive front was bad. Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd were able to put pressure, but Josh Allen did such a remarkable job of getting rid of the ball quickly. I saw a stat. He averaged 2.37 seconds in how quickly he got the ball out. In fact, on that first touchdown to Gabe Davis, 1.37 seconds. That's unheralded. It's unheard of. It's so fast to get rid of the ball. And then that includes plays that he kept drives alive. He got out of the pocket. And then was able to find receivers down the field for some big, big plays. That also leads me to the last thing I'll say on this, which was the secondary. Taylor Rapp was a no-show. Jalen Ramsey allowed 6 catches for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns when he was targeted. This is a guy who I know had off-season shoulder surgery, but he has not gotten himself back in game shape yet or been conditioned to play this much. And that showed, especially in that fourth quarter. And also David Long Jr., who had to guard Gabe Davis for most of the game, he did a horrific job. And Gabe Davis was able to find the end zone and get 4 catches for 88 yards himself. So a lot of questions for the Rams defense and the Rams offensive line after this one.
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to ask you now about your mindset going into the Falcons next week. Is there something you want to see other than obviously the line playing better, giving Stafford more time and Stafford, you know, not throwing 3 interceptions? Is there like a certain way you want this team to play next week?
Yeah, great question. First and foremost, that's the good news for the Rams. It's as bad as and poorly as you played against the Bills week one, you do not get to face the Bills in week two. You get the Atlanta Falcons, who I don't think their fan base will travel as well. They are not the great white hype this year. They are expected to probably be one of the worst teams in the NFL. So you're not going to have to go to a silent count, I believe, at SoFi Stadium next Sunday. And I think you're going to be able to do whatever you want offensively against the Falcons. And I don't think you're going to have as many problems on the offensive line against the Falcons front four that you did against a very, very good Bills front four, obviously led by former Ram Von Miller, who went against that offensive line in practice, Brandon. So he knows them very well. He knows their tendencies. He knows their weaknesses. And he's also able to pass that on to his fellow defensive linemen. So with that said, I want to see the Rams bounce back and in a very dominant way. You don't want to see a close game with the Falcons. You don't want to see more mistakes. You don't want to see more pressures and knockdowns and sacks on Matthew Stafford. You want to see a clean game of football next week. You want to see the offense get into rhythm. Because when Sean McVay can get into a rhythm, which he was not able to do on Thursday, and he will have an extra day to practice and scheme for the Falcons, obviously with being able to play on Thursday, that's one advantage you have in getting that extra couple days before next Sunday. So I want to see this Ram offense back to the way we know it, firing all cylinders. I want to see Allen Robinson get more targets. I want to see Matthew Stafford spread the ball around more than just targeting Cooper Kupp for 13 catches and 128 yards in the score. I want to see a line where Cooper Kupp has 10. Allen Robinson has 7 catches. Ben Skoranek has 6. Tyler Higbee has 6. I want to see the ball spread out. And I want to see not just Daryl Henderson getting the bulk of the carries at running back. I want to see Cam Akers. He's arguably a better, more talented back. And he only had 3 touches for no yards in that game. I know fantasy owners are very unhappy about that. So I want to see, to answer your question, I want to see the Rams' high-octane offense led by Sean McVay on full display against the team they should rout. And I want to see the ball spread out. I want to see them more efficient. And I want to see Matthew Stafford get rid of the ball a lot more quickly than he did on Thursday.
Michael, so much MVP hype coming into the season for Josh Allen. You got a chance to witness it in person yesterday. He had that one errant throw that was intercepted by Troy Hill. The other one probably was not nearly his fault. What are your thoughts on his MVP case, and what do you think about where he ranks in terms of top quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, if we're showing at the end of the year, Armand, the MVP video highlights for Josh Allen, then that stiff arm he put on Nick Scott has to be on there. That was incredible. That was Derrick Henry-esque by a quarterback. And so that, to me, needs to be at the front of the highlight tape when Josh Allen makes his MVP case towards the year. And you're correct. The two interceptions he had, the first one was not his fault. That was a ball that probably should have been caught, that dropped and went right into the hands. Like I said earlier, that was a mom, look what I found, gift interception. And credit to Troy Hill interception. I don't even think it was that bad of a throw by Josh Allen. Troy Hill just made a play, jumped the route, took the ball away. That was a good pick for him, but that was it. After that, Josh Allen did not make any more mistakes in the second half. He was able to keep and extend drives with his feet. He rushed, I believe, for 56 yards. He was the leading rusher on his team and also had a rushing touchdown. So he's making the case. But, you know, if Lamar Jackson is healthy, I know that they announced on Friday that he wasn't able to reach an extension with the Ravens. So now he's playing potentially on a contract year. So if he's healthy, he's going to give Josh Allen a run for his money. And then obviously you can't count out the Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady's of the world, especially if they put up just their average numbers. But yeah, Josh Allen is making a case. And here was the thing I was talking about. There was so much hype around the Bills this preseason about a team that should come out of the AFC and take that next step. They reloaded on defense. They went out and got Von Miller. They made some changes on offense as well. And we wanted to see how they would put it all together. And if they could travel to L.A. and beat the Super Bowl champion Rams in their own building on a night that they unveiled the banner and defeat a perfect Sean McVay, who was 5-0 entering these games in season openers, and do it the way they did it in dominant fashion, where they looked like the better team from start to finish, then now that hype starts to get real, and a lot more people are going to jump on that Bills bandwagon. And it seems to me like if they can keep this going, they're going to have a very special season in upstate New York and Buffalo.
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to add, I try to tell people that Gabe Davis was going to take a huge leap this year. I do think he becomes a star wide receiver. I think we saw that in the playoffs and obviously in the first game. Only thrown to, I mean, he only had four receptions, but 88 yards and a touchdown. It's kind of a quiet day, in my opinion, for Gabe Davis. I think that's going to be the norm, at least almost a touchdown. I wouldn't say a touchdown every game, but 88 yards, more than four receptions. Do you expect a huge leap this season from him as well?
I don't know about a huge leap per se. I did expect him to have a good game, and I expected him to score. I think there was a stat before his first catch, which was a touchdown, and the first touchdown of the game for the Bills, I might add. That was something like six of his last eight catches, including that obviously that AFC divisional game against the Chiefs, which was just an amazing game back and forth. That was like his sixth touchdown in his last eight catches, something unheard of for Gabe Davis. So that's the kind of guy that we know. I mean, that's a guy that Josh Allen will look for in the end zone, in those moments, in the red zone to get a score, and it paid off. Now, you mentioned the four catches for 87 yards. Well, one of them was for 47 yards. So, you know, if Jalen Ramsey doesn't botch that, or if that play doesn't happen, then you're looking at, you know, three catches, 40 yards or something like that. So one of those was a very big play. But I do expect him to have a very good year. Obviously, they got rid of Cole Beasley. So that's going to give more opportunities to Gabe Davis in that Bills offense. And when you put him against a cornerback that he can beat and match up with, in this case, it was David Long Jr. who got picked on throughout the day by Josh Allen. Let's also face it, Jalen Ramsey also got picked on in this game. As I mentioned, you know, he sucked more than Maggie Simpson on Thursday night. Gabe Davis is a guy that I expect to have a good year for fantasy owners, a guy I expect to find the end zone. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as where you're kind of leaning, Brandon, meaning like maybe he's going to be a 10-target, 100-yard-per-game receiver, but I think several games in this range, 5 to 6 catches, 70, 80 yards and a score, could be a line that we see a lot from Gabe Davis this year.
Michael, I don't know how I buried the lead. You were practically like in the huddle pregame. You were right next to The Rock. If you were closer to The Rock, you would be the main event of of WrestleMania. Michael, I've never seen you that close. Tell us what the atmosphere was like, and how were you that close?
First of all, I should be in the main event of WrestleMania.
You really should.
Let's just put that out there now to the McMahon family. I guess I can't say Vince anymore. So Triple H.
That's right.
Yeah. If you need me, call me. Just let me know. Let me know. I'll be there. It was amazing because The Rock's forearms are so big, Arash. Like, they are bigger than my head. It was incredible. And I'm not going to, like, pat myself on the back or name drop, but Rock used to live in Hidden Hills for a very long time. We used to go to the same gym. I used to see him all the time. And I used to see him in his element in the gym, which is just astonishing to see. That would be like watching Tiger Woods on the putting green, Mick Jagger, you know, in the studio recording a song, seeing somebody in their element like that. So that was cool to see The Rock and be up close. When he showed up, yeah, fans went wild. They went nuts. The atmosphere for the game pregame was huge because I couldn't tell from the field, Arash, which were Bills fans and which were Rams fans.
I know, right?
That, yeah. that Buffalo blue and that Rams blue are very similar. So yeah. I'm looking up and I'm just seeing sea of blue everywhere. And I'm like, well, which is Bills and which is Rams? It wasn't until, and they're both loud as heck for the start of the game. Matthew Stafford, as you saw in the video I posted, led that pregame huddle and got everybody hyped up and kept saying, be you, be you, be you, let's be us, let's be us. And if that's what they are, then they're not going to be very good this season. And they might, you know, fall into that NFC curse of teams not going back to the Super Bowl after going to the Super Bowl the next year. So they got to try to break that. But the atmosphere was electric pregame. It was exciting. I also had a video, if you saw, of Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. on the sidelines coming out, giving Matthew Stafford a hug. I think fans seeing him, they were loving it. They gave him all the love they can. This is a guy the Rams are still courting. They have a locker at their practice facility in Thousand Oaks with his name tag on it. They are waiting for him to return. As you and I know, Arash, Bootsy Bellows is a popping place during Rams games at SoFi Stadium. And OBJ was hanging out at Bootsy Bellows the whole game, getting all the love. And, you know, we know he loves that love and attention. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him on either of these two teams, after the bye week, around week 10, week 11, either the Bills or the Rams. But yeah, like I said, it was an electric atmosphere. And once the Bills went up 31-10 midway through the fourth quarter and Rams fans started to head for the exit, that's when I could hear the Bills Mafia. That's when I could see them. And I was like, wow, this might be a 50-50 crowd, maybe even 60-40 Bills fans. And that would explain why the Rams had to go to a silent count for most of the game. So, you know, respect to Bills Mafia. They traveled well. But as we know, L.A. is a destination town. And when you live in upstate New York, what a great place to be in September than Los Angeles with, you know, 90-degree weather and the beach and everything we have to offer people.
Yeah, it was an amazing atmosphere. Happy that, again, Michael, it was really cool to see you guys back in the locker room. It was just, for the first time in 2.5 years, my friend, it felt normal. Last 60 seconds, so kind of just need a quick pick from you, Michael, on this. USC stick to Stanford, 9-point spread, 60 seconds, my friend. Does USC cover?
Yeah, this is the true test, Arash. This is Lincoln Riley heading to the farm. This is a big game. This is a game that's tripped up other coaches and USC teams in the past. I think he gets it done. If he does get it done, I think the hype train gets even louder, I should say, and more people will be jumping on this USC bandwagon because the schedule gets a little bit easier after that, leading up to that Utah game, I think, which is going to be like week 6 or something like that. So I think they get it done in Stanford. I think that keeps the ball rolling. I think that gets a lot of people on the Trojan train. So come on board. Everybody's welcome. And we'll keep rolling until we get Utah.
Exactly. I mean, I think if they can find a way to win this one, then the train will get going. It'll leave the station. They'll move up the rankings. But it's really good, Michael, to see USC back in the top 10. It's obviously very good to see you. See you soon, my friend. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces, shed tears as we worry, brothers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.